Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Before we get started on today's shows, which, by the way, the name of which today is The Sixth Ray of Idealism and Devotion, but before we explore that topic, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show. And the following thought comes from Alice Bailey as well. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities of divinity are the seven rays. Idealism and devotion are, they're beautiful qualities. Why is the sixth ray sometimes associated with crystallization and fanaticism if it's a divine energy?
I think there are probably a number of reasons for that, but one explanation is that we are presently experiencing the outflow of this ray energy. As we've said on previous programs, rays govern human beings, they govern groups and nations, and they also govern cycles of time. And we are living in a period which has been dominated by the sixth ray of devotion and idealism for approximately 2,000 years. I'm sure our listeners have heard of references to the New Age. That's an incoming age that we are already entering, and it will be governed by a different pattern of energy. So at the present time, one of the reasons for the chaos and confusion and conflict of values and so on can be understood by realizing that an old 2,000-year pattern of energy governed by the sixth ray of idealism and devotion is rapidly passing out. And the writings of Alice Bailey say that when a ray energy is on its way out, the lower aspect of it expresses most fully, not the higher aspect. So we see the tendency to idealism and devotion too often descending into fanaticism and my way or the highway kind of crystallization.
Yes, and that the fact that it's this sixth ray has been prominent for so long, for the last 2,000 years, we've had 2,000 years of building upon this characteristics and the qualities of the sixth ray, which are expressing devotion and idealism, and those qualities have been built upon everything that's for thousands of years on, and that's why these ideals are so strong, and why there is such a fight to hold on to them today. And as the new rays cycle in of the new age, there's a great conflict, and it's producing there's a holding on, a tendency to hold on to that which we know, which is of the old age and of the old ideals and the old methods of working. And so the seventh ray is trying to reorganize and reshape so much of the world today.
We can see this reaction to ideals in perhaps in ourselves, we can see it in humanity at large as a tendency to be so devoted to an ideal or a cause or a principle that everything is sacrificed for it. And eventually what happens is the method of working out that ideal becomes more important than the conditioning ideal itself. We get bogged down as human beings in the attainment of our goal when the methods to reach that goal might go against the very value of the goal itself. That is seen in the merciless excesses that people will go to for their attainment of their rights, for freedom, for justice, for their particular belief about religion. Particularly religion we see in the world today as a kind of sixth-ray fanaticism. And one reason for that is that two major world religions, Christianity and Islam, according to the writings of Alice Bailey, are governed by idealism and devotion. And on the higher turn of the spiral, we see the beauty of the Christian ideal of mercy, of love in the life of Jesus. We see the teachings of Muhammad in the Quran as a beautiful expression of the spiritual path. But the actual practices of the followers of those religions sometimes descend into fanaticism, and that's what we see too often in the world today.
Right, and it's that narrow point of view that is, as far as they're concerned, the only point of view, and that's the problem with so many of those on that very narrow sixth-ray path or fanaticism. It's their vision and their desire, their God, and their struggle to fight and to die if necessary just for their little cause. And it makes it creates such a chaotic world that we're experiencing in certain places of the world today. And that's why it's makes it so so much tension and conflict is built up.
And yet I don't want our listeners to think that fanaticism is the only expression of the sixth ray, because it has developed something in human consciousness that was deeply necessary, according to Alice Bailey. She calls it the capacity for abstraction. Prior to, say, 2,000 years ago, apparently this capacity to focus on the intangible and the abstract realm of ideas and ideals was not very highly developed in the human being. And under the pressure, we could say, the conditioning influence of the sixth ray, the consciousness of human beings was lifted toward the intangible realms above the outer physical plane, above the material realm. And that led to the development of certain ideals, which are conditioning or guiding lights, we could say, that we direct and orient ourselves toward. And I think many of us have ideals like that. They might pertain to the family or to a career goal or to a particular principle or a religious value to which we bend everything in order to achieve it and to realize it. The problem is the methods by which the human being tends to achieve that goal. He forces it. He applies the law, spiritual law, in kind of a merciless way. He tramples on everyone and everything in the way of achieving that goal or that ideal. It doesn't mean the ideal is wrong. Take the ideal of freedom. It's a beautiful ideal. However, when we violate the realization, I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said that one man's freedom stops where another man's liberty begins, or another man's rights begin, then we have a problem.
Yes, and it's this capacity of devotion that's it's a very good and useful characteristics to develop in the human nature, and that's what the great gift of the sixth ray provides. It's one of the ideal characteristics of devotion, but if it's devotion to like to a family, devotion to your children, devotion to your religion, then it can be a very beautiful thing, and it's a very necessary quality to develop, and that's the great gift that the sixth ray provides. It's how it's expressed, though, as you were saying, that's the real problem.
I wonder if part of the problem has to do with the fact that the human being is working with and through a mind, which is, unless one is, well, if one is just an ordinary or developing human being, he is working through a mind that is, by its very nature, limited. And there is only a certain range, like a radio station can only broadcast on throughout a certain range. Maybe the human mind of an individual can only take in or encompass so much of an ideal and no more than that. And in the attempt to anchor or realize a huge moral principle or ideal, it naturally is recognized only in fragments or only partially by the individual, so that this becomes distorted into a kind of fanaticism because we don't see it in its wholeness and its completeness.
Mm-hmm.
It's we are unable as individuals to comprehend the wholeness of a spiritual idea, so we approach it tangentially from one angle or another, but we don't grasp it in its entirety, and yet we think we have. We think we've registered the whole idea, so we apply it and go about it with fanaticism and with limited understanding. That's the best I can make of that.
Yes, it's but that one-pointed attitude that is developed by this devotion to this ideal, it also develops a one-pointedness and a capacity for expressing one-pointedness, and that's another part of this ideal that is good, and it's a good quality to develop, but like everything else, it can be used properly or it can be misused, and if it's one-pointed in my way of thinking and my vision and my God and my religion, then to the exclusion of everybody else, then you have a problem there. So it's a matter of overcoming that by the developing a capacity of inclusiveness, and that's what some of the other rays, like the second ray of love, wisdom, if it's in combination with the sixth ray, then it may temper that sixth ray one-pointedness to become more inclusive.
And it's important to remember, as we've said before, that every person is governed by a combination of five governing rays, so that we don't have to throw up our hands in despair and say, well, this is my ray and no other. The soul of an individual is conditioned by a particular ray energy, the personality by another ray, and then the mind, emotions, and physical body are often, not always, often expressions of still other rays. But there is a dominant ray energy that's expressing through most people, and it's helpful to try to identify the rays that seem to hit home the most. What you're saying about my idea, my goal, my ideal, my vision, reminds me that Alice Bailey says the sixth ray is strongly associated with individualism. And again, I suppose that's a direct link to fanaticism, because it's all about me.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the sixth ray of idealism and devotion. We have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book entitled The Seven Rays of Life. The Seven Rays of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books by Alice Bailey, and as a reader or a student, it makes your job easier, because if you're interested in this topic, the topic is drawn. The book is really written in such a way that it saves you a lot of work. Otherwise, without this book, you'd have to explore through every one of the 24 volumes and locate different chapters that might relate to this topic. So I think you'll find it to be a real asset as far as studying Alice Bailey. And then, of course, if you'd like to explore the other books in greater depth, you certainly can after that. Some of the chapters in The Seven Rays of Life include an overview of the seven rays, the rays in world affairs, the rays and human development, the spiritual path and the rays, and ray methods of service, among other topics. And the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling today, so you're only paying for the book, which is $15, which is a very reasonable price for a book. It's a rather thick book. I think you'll find it to be certainly worth the money. So send a check or money order to Lucis, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a check or money order for $15 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And just write a little note that you heard the offer on the show, Inner Sight. And another issue that I'd like to speak with the audience about today is donations. We appreciate donations that you've given to us in the past, and this is a radio station that we're very pleased to be on, and we know that many people have expressed interest in the show Inner Sight. And in order to pay for these shows, we need your help. So once again, I thank you for the support that you've given in the past. It's very much appreciated. But if you want to continue seeing us on the air or listening to the show, then continue to send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if for any reason that you'd like to get in touch with Lucis Trust about ordering cassette tapes of shows or schedules of our meditation meetings, or if you need a general package of information about Lucis Trust, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. The website, by the way, is www.lucistrust.org, and although you can find out a lot of information on the website, one of the main reasons people key into our website is to look at the previously archived library of shows that we've done on a variety of different topics. I was thinking, Sarah Dell, that we're into this topic. We've been into it for a while, but what about the new listener who doesn't understand what the seven rays are? I know that it's much different than astrology, but as far as a better way to explain it, how else might you explain it other than saying it's maybe tangential or similar to astrology?
The seven rays are a sevenfold expression of divinity, of the nature of God. We've talked about the fact that seven is a dominant number in creation. Mm-hmm. The seven notes of the Western musical scale, the 7 days of the week, the seven colors of the light spectrum. And there is a sevenfold expression of divinity, which expresses as the ray of power or will, the ray of love, the ray of intelligence, the ray of harmony through conflict, the ray of knowledge or science, the ray of devotion, which we're talking about today, and the ray of order. And each of these rays on its highest level is an expression of divinity, just as the sixth ray of devotion is. I think one way we can recognize the beauty of this ray energy is in its expression in the animal kingdom. There are two animals which Alice Bailey points out are especially associated with the sixth ray of devotion, the dog and the horse. The dog's devotion is unquestionable, and the horse's devotion to man is amazing. He's been a work animal and a servant of humanity for ages and has fostered human evolution literally by his coming into human societies. Anybody who's studied the development of the American Indian and the impact of the horse knows what that meant upon those societies. There is both a a beautiful ruthlessness to the sixth ray of devotion and a cruelty toward it, to it. And I think we find this idea expressed in an ancient spiritual scripture, which says in kind of mystical or archaic language, the crusade is on. The warriors march upon their way. They crush and kill all that impedes their way, and aught that rises on their onward path is trampled underfoot. March towards the light. The work goes forward. The workers veil their eyes from pity as from fear. The work is all that counts. The form must disappear so that the loving spirit may enter into rest. Naught must arrest the progress of the workers with the plan. They enter upon the work assigned with pen and with song. Well, this touches on the ruthlessness of this energy, but as Alice Bailey points out, it's one thing to be ruthless toward oneself. In other words, to be strictly disciplined and firm with the pull of one's lower nature. As she says, the soul is and should be pitiless to its form and its problem. But the soul on its level can understand the need for struggle and difficulty because the soul has a higher vision that knows life exists beyond the level of form. When we apply that attitude towards others, though, with the same ruthlessness, then there's an expression of cruelty. In the way we relate to others, we should be merciful. The sixth ray method is one that works best on individual application. I think that's the point I'm trying to make, because we willingly or not decide when we need to apply discipline, when we need to overlook the demands of the personal life. We can't know what's working out in another person's consciousness, and yet we see in the world the application of the sixth ray idealism to such a standard that societies and other groups are trampled underfoot, and their values and traditions are negated because they don't match the ideals and values of the more powerful society.
That's one of the problems facing the sixth ray today, because we have this such a dominant force, even though it is phasing out in prominence and another energy is coming in. It is still that, as you say, it's the lower expression that is expressed as a ray begins to phase out. And all of these rays have their cycle of prominence, and then they don't really disappear, they just kind of fade back into the background for a while, but they're always present, but some of them are more, let's say, in incarnation at the time. And the sixth ray is one of those that is going out of incarnation now. So many of the dominant souls who are on a sixth ray line, they recede from the scene as well, and more dominant seventh ray souls begin to take their place. So it's a kind of, we're in this transition stage right now, which makes it a difficult time to live through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that shifting of energies. Another reason that this energy might seem especially familiar and a bit troubling to us is that this particular country, the United States, is governed by the sixth ray on the personality level. As I've mentioned, rays, nations are expressions of rays of a higher and a lower nature. Every nation has a soul and a more form-oriented or materialist expression called the personality. And on the personality level, the United States is governed by the sixth ray. We can see this devotion and idealism writ large in the way our traditional national character expresses itself. Russia is another nation that is governed by a sixth ray personality. But interestingly, Alice Bailey says Italy and Spain are the expressions of the sixth ray soul. And I suppose when one thinks of the treasure of Spanish literature, Don Quixote, one sees that idealism and devotion to his goal in a more inspiring and touching way.
And you mentioned Italy too. Of course, we have in the past we've had so much great music and sculptors and artists that have come out of Italy, and that is a reflection of that sixth ray dominance there in that country. And I think in particular, whenever the sixth ray is related to a fourth ray or the seventh ray, then you will get a very melodious kind of music order that's often composed in great oratories and in sacred music, and we've seen so much of that beautiful, beautiful music that's come out of that period.
And Italy, interestingly, is governed by a fourth-ray personality, is it not, and a sixth-ray soul.
Mm-hmm.
There's another idea that you remind me of in mentioning Italy and the beauty of the sixth ray. The sixth ray is linked to the development of taste, Alice Bailey says, the discriminating appreciation for whatever is fine and lovely and beautiful and perfect. And Italy is well known for producing such beautiful tapestries, objects of art, as well as music, clothing, and so on. Taste is an attribute of the Italian cultural expression that's very highly developed. So we can see these energies working out in ways high and low. All of us can look for the sixth ray element in our own nature. It may or may not be there, but we can look for it and monitor it and try to temper it with love and compassion and inclusiveness.
Please take advantage of the special offer that is from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the book, The Seven Rays of Life. The Seven Rays of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. And some of the topics are the seven rays. It's an overview of the seven rays, the rays in world affairs, the spiritual path in the rays, and many other topics as well. In order to take advantage of this, please send $15 in the form of a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.